From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message entitled, The Comfort and Confidence of Knowing That God Knows, part of his series on the vital subject of prayer. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples much about prayer. In our text from Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, he declared that your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. From these words, we may be encouraged that God has his people always on his mind, and that he has our situation well in hand. Taking the Lord at his word delivers us from unreasoning frenzy and brings calm and assurance to our souls, regardless of the circumstances of life. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, however, he encourages those who wish to know more about God's way of salvation to ask for a copy of his booklet, A New Beginning, in which he deals with a number of things, one of which is a guilty conscience.
We all know what a guilty conscience is, do we not? Doesn't matter how we try to wriggle out of our personal responsibility. Doesn't matter how effectively we pass the blame on to others. It doesn't matter even if we can gain other people's acknowledgement that we are in the right. Yet, in our own hearts, we have a conscience. Within us, we have something that accuses, and it does not let us go. We know what a guilty conscience is. The Bible says that conscience is the candle of the Lord. It is that light that shows up the guilt and the sin of your life, and that acts as a warning that the judgment day is surely coming. Now, we all know, as I say, what it is to have a guilty conscience, but not everybody knows how to get rid of a guilty conscience. The usual way that people have to quell their conscience is to try and work, to do some works of penance. They may not call it penance, but that's actually what they're doing. And so they think that they can make up for the bad stuff by doing some, quote, good stuff. But they find that still doesn't get rid of a guilty conscience. So very few people really know how to get rid of that conscience. Some will turn to the church. Some will think if they join the church, if they get to the Lord's table, surely that'll help them to get rid of a guilty conscience. Some people try just to ignore it, squelch it, and they become hardened in their heart. Their conscience becomes more and more deadened, and that's a very, very dangerous position for any man or woman to be in. It's no use ignoring it until it becomes seared. That's just running away from reality. Now, what can you do about a guilty conscience? Well, the Bible says the blood of Christ shall purge your conscience. In other words, the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross was a sacrifice for our sins. It paid the penalty of those sins. It bore the guilt of those sins. It put away the wrath of God that was due to those sins. It bridged the gulf that those sins had caused between us and our God and reconciled us to Him. It gave us a right standing with God. That precious blood of Jesus Christ brought us nigh to God and gave us the assurance of divine acceptance, the certainty of eternal life. So that when a man can say, my sins are under the blood, my sin has been put under the blood of Jesus Christ, then he has release from a guilty conscience. If you today are troubled about your sin, troubled about your past, troubled about your relationship with God, troubled that you have never been able to deal with your guilty conscience, then it's Christ you need. We're happy to help you as you seek to think through what the Bible teaches concerning release from a guilty conscience. We have a wonderful booklet on the precious blood of Christ that we'll be happy to send to you that will show you the power of the blood in dealing with a guilty conscience.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts, Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, to which Dr. Cairns made reference earlier in the broadcast. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Psalm 105 tells us Joseph was sold for a servant whose feet they hurt. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him.
Think of that little statement at the end, the word of the Lord tried him. What does it mean? It means that Joseph couldn't forget the promises God had made to him. Joseph couldn't forget that God had opened up to him the promise of his future and what he was going to do through him, and the great glory that he was going to manifest through Joseph. Joseph had those promises in his heart, and yet he first lay in a pit, then he was carried away as a slave, then he was thrown into prison as a man falsely accused, then he was forgotten. To all appearances, God had forgotten him. The word of the Lord was trying him. But you know, appearances can be wrong. And when appearances contradict the word of God, they're always wrong. Through all the years of trial and of suffering, of slavery, false accusation, imprisonment, neglect, the Lord was working. And finally, Joseph summed it all up when he said to his brethren, "As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Stop there for a minute. In the deepest depression, in the most awful suffering, in the heart-rending trials that afflict God's people, God has a meaning. This is not a meaningless, mindless, thoughtless, accidental thing. God means something by this. And if you're a Christian, listen, He means it unto good. To bring it to pass, as it is this day, to see if much people alive. The Lord had the situation in hand. How often that is our own experience. Remember, your Father knows. That truth leads us to a third observation, that the Lord calls us to faith instead of frenzy. Do not be like the heathen in their repetitious praying. You see, at the heart of the repetitions of the heathen, there is the frenzy of desperation. We're studying John Knox's great treatise on prayer on Wednesday nights. We will be again, the Lord willing, when I return. One of his great points is that prayer is never desperation. It's never desperation. Oh, we may reach the end of ourselves and be cast entirely upon God, but prayer is lifting up the need of our hearts to our Father in heaven in the assurance He is our Father and He knows. That begets faith. It does not produce frenzy. The heathen may well be frenzied. But why have we to be frenzied? Why should we be hopeless? Why should we be desperate? Peter says, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." The psalmist in that great 37th psalm that marks the perfect man, ultimately that man can only be Christ. But in a lesser sense, it is the mature Christian. And in verse 23, he says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Now, those steps may be steps of suffering. They may be steps in the darkness. As far as you're concerned, when you can't see one finger in front of you. But that's the time to know our Father knows. As David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In one of our ministers' homes where I was visiting some time ago, I saw one of these, if my memory's right, a needlepoint work up on the wall. But the message was one that we do well to remember. When you're in trouble and in need and bearing burdens, the Lord is able to remove the burden from your shoulders, or He's able to strengthen your shoulders to bear the burden. Thy will be done. He will sustain you. D.L. Moody had a motto for his life. He rejoiced to tell that this was his motto, how he went through life. Doing a little reading, I think that he must have come across it either when he was in Scotland or either by reading of a couple of old Scots believers. And they had a conversation that went something like this. One said to the other, I love Psalm 56 and verse 3. That's how I live. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Isn't that a lovely motto for life? What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. But his friend replied, yes, that's good, but personally I prefer Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Because God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. Moody said, there are many people who are saying, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust. I prefer to say, I will trust and I will not be afraid. Why? Because God, our Father, knows. And He calls us not to frenzy, but to faith. The final thing, let me note, is this. That thus praying in the knowledge that our Father knows will comfort and sustain us as God deals with us in great wisdom and great grace. Just knowing that the Father knows when you're in prayer, it will comfort, it will sustain you. It will enable you to endure the burden you're called to bear. Are Christians called to bear burdens? Yes, they are. There's a great deal of confusion that God would never allow you to be sick. That's the devil. And if only you had enough faith, then you wouldn't be sick. I must say I get rather irate at these charismatic charlatans who go into the woman. I know of a case going into a woman dying of cancer, telling her, you're healed. In the name of God, you're healed. She takes the liar at his word, dismisses her doctor's medications, only to find she was dying still. And when she's lying there in the throes of awful agony, the same charlatan has the audacity to come and tell her, you didn't have enough faith. When there was a healing going, he had the faith. But once there was no healing, it was because she didn't. Such charlatans and liars in the name of God have an awful, awful crime to answer for at the judgment bar of God. Does God allow and ordain that His people bear burdens? You look at your Bible and get the answer. There are burdens that come as the direct result of sin. There are other burdens that come simply because we are yet human in a sinful world. And there are yet other burdens that are special dispensations of an inscrutable providence that God allows for His glory and the greater good of the cause of Christ. But if you know your Father knows, God knows the way that I take, God knows what He's doing with me, God understands and He knows my need, then it will enable you to endure the burden you've got to bear. It will encourage you to rest, assured that God will answer wisely and well. His answer will be best, because He knows.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.